Welcome to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey. In this broadcast, we hear the second part of Dr. Beakey's sermon on Romans 1:14, I am debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. In this message, Dr. Beakey opens up how office bearers in the church are in debt, and that debt, that sense of overwhelming obligation to the grace of God that has saved them, and also obligation to others to spread the saving gospel, motivates them to serve Him zealously. As you listen, may the Spirit give you ears to hear and a heart to believe the words of eternal life.
Press on. The labor's not in vain. Because we're debtors to share the gospel with people everywhere. That's the same vision with all the printed forms of ministry that this church is engaged in. And we're engaged in a lot. Through RHB, through Inheritance Publication sermons, through Gospel Trumpet sermons, through Banner of Sovereign Grace Truth. What are we doing all these things for? Because we are debtors to the nominal Christians or barbarians, Gentiles, to people everywhere. And we need everywhere, people need to hear the gospel. We need to pay back our debt. We need to pay back our debt. And you see, when you have this focus, then as an elder, as a deacon, you're not worried about your reputation. It doesn't have anything to do with you. Your burden, your passion, your zeal, your energy, your love isn't about you, but it puts the focus on other people. They must be saved. It's on them, the lost, and those who are not walking the way they ought to walk as believers, the backsliding. That's the burden. And you do that by love. Lovest thou me, Peter? Yes, Lord, thou knowest I love. Feed my sheep. Don't go meditate on how much you love me and how good you are. Of course not. Peter's a sinner. He just denied the Lord. But he goes out and feeds the sheep because he's a debtor to what God has done for him. So how do you pay back the debt? By bringing the word. For a minister, preaching is the primary means. But there's all kinds of other means. For an elder, teaching in the local church is a primary means. Teaching, catechizing, family visitation, loving, praying for the people of the flock. That is now your responsibility, brothers, in an intensified way through your office. And for your deacons to minister to the poor and to reach out to hurting people, showing the priestly compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ to these people. And yes, through the church's ministries, beyond to all the world. We are grateful. We are grateful for how active this church is in doing that. But there's so much more that could be done. I just think back of last week, how many scholarships we couldn't give to students who were coming to, wanted to come to our seminary, who were qualified in every way. But we just don't have the funds. So we have to turn away men that we could be training for ministry because of lack of funds. How sad, how tragic. You see, what the world needs, what the church needs, what our families need, what you and I need, is what everyone needs. The gospel. And so we are debtors. We have this incredible, incredible rich heritage. You think the Syrians found something good when they found the spoils to go to Israel? We've got a heritage that is far better than food and drink. It's the spiritual food of the soul that can last to life eternal and makes a difference to all eternity. But we want to bring this rich heritage entrusted to us to the ends of the earth, in churches and beyond churches, on mission fields, to those who've heard, to those who haven't heard, to the wise, to the unwise, to the Jew, to the Greek, to the barbarian, everywhere. It's a debt we owe. That's why when I do chapels, I often say to our young people in our Plymouth Christian School, I said, do you realize what you guys have? It's unbelievable. You have privileges at church, home, and school that more than 99% of the young people this world don't have. What an incredible debt you have. But what an incredible tragedy if you don't respond to all the incredible number of gospel invitations you have and you go lost in the midst of such riches. What a tragedy. Oh, my friend, are you paying back the debt? You see, are you paying back the debt? Paul says, I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor. Parents, you're debtors to your own children. If you've experienced the grace of God, you are a burden to your own children. How can you not talk to them about the one thing needful, about their soul? How can you not engage in family worship? How can you just read a few verses of the Bible, have a short prayer, and not speak to them from heart to heart? You're a debtor. You've been saved by grace. Speak to your children of the wonderful works of God. I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor. Do you feel the debt? Do you feel the constraint? Do you feel the obligation? You see, you have the answers in the gospel, in our rich Reformed heritage, which interprets the Bible. We believe in the very best way. The Reformed faith embraces all the doctrines of the Bible in a coherent whole that gives the most glory to God and abases man the most. We believe that we have the answers to the greatest questions of philosophers and scientists since time immemorial. Who am I? Where did I come from? How did things come to be? What is my purpose? How do I fit into this world? Where am I going? How do I explain in the deepest consciousness of my being the sense of right and wrong? How do I explain the impending judgment to come? The Bible has all the answers. And we owe it to everyone. We owe it to everyone. They need to hear it. They need to hear about the God who is. The God who's a spirit, infinite, eternal, unchangeable in all his attributes. They need to hear about how things came to be in 6 days and all very good in creation. They need to hear about how things went wrong. Wherefore, is by one man, sin entered into the world and death by sin. So death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But they also need to hear that there's a remedy, that there's a redeemer, that he's glorious. They need to hear this. That no man can save himself. But the one God-man has done the two things for every single person on earth. At least he's sufficient for that. He does it strictly only for the elect, of course. But he's sufficient. His blood is sufficient to wipe away every sin. One drop of his blood, said Luther, could save 10,000 worlds. But also he obeys the law fully. So that we can have a right to eternal life when we, by the grace of God, believe in him alone for salvation. We call those two things active and passive obedience. When we don't understand that, we don't understand the gospel. And a study was recently done in America of evangelicals, and 85% of them did not know what active and passive obedience mean and what justification means. And didn't understand that the two things that we can't do for ourselves, that Jesus does for us, dying to pay for all of our sins and living, obeying the law perfectly so we could have his righteousness, and that those two things are imputed to us when we by grace believe in him alone for salvation. 85% of evangelicals today don't understand that. We need to bring the gospel to the ends of the earth. Yes, we need it here. There's people here that don't understand that. Even after preaching that for 31 years, they still don't understand the basics of the gospel, some of you. So we need to keep doing it here. But we can't keep it in these walls. If you go outside the church, you go downtown, you go into restaurants and into malls, wherever you go, you see lost people, people going to hell all around you. And so what does Paul say? He says, I'm a debtor. As much as in me lies. So there's a limitation. One person can't do everything. Of course not. One person can't talk to you. You can't talk to every single person in Grand Rapids. Paul's determined to do what he can. So he trains other men to go out into other countries, just like we're doing through the seminary. Trains men for different countries so they can be speaking where he can't be every Sunday. So that he says to Timothy, train other men who may train others who may teach the people so that the gospel may go to the ends of the earth. One of the most painful things I've ever heard in my 31 years of ministry here is when someone had a suggestion that somehow, someone actually told me this, that the seminary is in some way in conflict with the local church because of the work it's doing. Just boggled my mind to the core of my being, hurt me deeply. The seminary is an extension of the church. It's by the church, for the church, for the universal church. It's part of the calling of this church. It's part of the calling of every HRC church, every Free Reformed church, that we pour our energies and our love to spreading the gospel around the world to men who are called to bring it. It's all one piece. The local church, the seminary, the Plymouth Christian schools, the neighborhood outreach, the Sunday school, all of the ministries of the church have one goal. I am a debtor to bring the word to the Greeks and the barbarians and the wise and the unwise. My father-in-law used to tell us this story about Reverend Lemain. Years ago, people would complain because Reverend Lemain was gone too much, they said, too many Sundays, different places, preaching everywhere. And he said his father, which would be my grandfather-in-law, used to say to people when they complained about it, because they were reading sermons, of course, he'd say, well, when you have a whole loaf of bread, you've got to be willing to share slices now and then, because they need the gospel as well. Everyone needs the gospel. Everyone needs the gospel. So when a minister is preaching in another church around here, when a minister is preaching in another state or another country, thank the Lord for that. The gospel is going out. This is part of it, you see. This is the calling of this church to be a center point out of which the gospel spreads to all the world. This is our vision. This is our mission statement. This is our goal. It's the goal of the Apostle Paul. I am a debtor. I am a debtor. Let's share the incredible riches that we have. Let's share the bread of the gospel. And when we do so, let's not forget, we're not just being like the Apostle Paul. We're being like Jesus. That's what he came on this earth to do. He says in Psalm 50, the cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. If I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. The world and the fullness thereof is mine. He doesn't owe anything to anyone. And yet Jesus came into debtorship, didn't he? He was willing to be humbled even to the death of the cross. Why? Because he said to his father, my ear hast thou borne open. I said, lo, I come in the volume of the book that is written of me. I delight to do thy will. O my God. So he came and he emptied himself. As much as in him lies, he poured out himself to the Jew and to the Greek, to the wise and to the unwise. He said, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. In fact, Jesus tells us something very important. It's not just the numbers. It's not just the 99 sheep. But even when one sheep is lost, you go after that sheep. Because that sheep has a never dying soul. So he made a trip to Samaria. Why? He must needs go through Samaria to visit one Samaritan woman to convert her. He stopped in the midst of the tumult as he's going to Jerusalem, feeling the weight of the sins of his people. There was activity all around, a big crowd around. He said, I hear a man. I hear a man. He stops. He says, call that blind man, Bartimaeus, call him to me. Canaanitish woman. She comes with her daughter. He deals with her soul. One by one, as well as the multitudes. Because they're never dying souls. This is the debtorship. We are under obligation, congregation, from a sense of duty, a sense of compassion, a sense of love for the souls of men to spread the gospel, which we have as such a very, very rich heritage. Dear brother elders, dear brother deacons, you minister to this flock. You minister to the ministries of this flock so that this flock, through your ministries, may be the more equipped to bring the gospel to the ends of the earth. We are debtors. Let's roll up our sleeves and get to work, knowing that nothing we do will have the least blessing from God without the blessing of the Holy Spirit. But also knowing that as we roll up our sleeves and get to work prayerfully, dependently, humbly, not focused on ourselves, but saying He is the one who gets the glory and spreading that gospel, He will own His own work and He will do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And so let the sermon tonight put wind in your sails for this 2-year commitment of office bearing. Be encouraged. And let this commitment also shape every believer in our audience tonight in every calling we have. Let it encourage you, parents, in speaking to your children. Let it encourage you, employers, in running your business and ministering to your employees. Let it encourage you, teachers, in speaking to your students and modeling for them the gospel. Let it include encouragement to everyone who's in any position of leadership that we might say with all our heart, all our mind, all our strength, all our love, every day of our lives, I am a debtor, both to the Jew, the Greek, and the barbarian, to the wise and to the unwise. Amen. Great God of heaven, we pray that the gospel will go out to the ends of the earth, that Thou wouldst do wondrous things through the proclamation of the gospel, bringing sinners under conviction of sin, leading them to the Savior, filling them with zeal for the kingdom of God, that they in turn may become debtors for the gospel's sake. O God, bless these men, newly installed for the first time, some of them, and others afresh. Lord, let this message put wind in their sails and encouragement in their hearts and fervor in the depths of their being, that the gospel would be spread also through their exercising of their gifts, sometimes one-on-one, maybe a catechism class student, or maybe some poor individual. But Lord, do help them to minister one by one, and do help them to support those ministries that reach the millions, and let Thy kingdom come. Help us, O God, and go with us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey, a ministry of the Gospel Trumpet. Please consider supporting the broadcast of Doctrine for Life with your financial gifts. For more information on how to donate to this ministry, and to download free booklets or audio files of previous broadcasts, please visit our website at gospeltrumpet.net. That's gospeltrumpet.net. William Ames said, "Theology is the doctrine of living to God. May God write the doctrines of the Bible upon your heart so that you may truly live."